Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, I'm David Marsden from The Evening Standard. Follow the leader or hit subscribe and you'll get our news, analysis and commentary every day at 4 p.m. Give us a rating wherever you get your podcast too. Now, from The Evening Standard in London, this is The Leader. London is still in Tier 2, but if you want to see how afraid the city is about plunging into Tier 3, head out to some shopping centres in places like Tower Hamlets and Waltham Forest this weekend. They're among areas getting mobile testing centres, with results promised in 30 minutes. Test while you shop is the promise, and it's not about convenience. A frantic testing surge is taking place as COVID admissions to hospitals hit a peak not seen since May. Our deputy political editor Nicholas Cecil's here. Nicholas, the health secretary himself's ordered this action. It's a big undertaking. He's not doing that without a good reason.
There's a real risk that London could be put into Tier 3 next week. Cases are rising quite sharply across many boroughs. And so this morning, Matt Hancock announced that there would be 75,000 extra tests done, some starting as soon as this week. This has mainly been targeted at schools, so it's pupils, their families and teachers, because there's a surge of cases, particularly in the northeast of London. Some of these tests will be done in mobile testing units in shopping areas. And so you could almost test while you shop and get the results within 30 minutes.
Nick, how bad do the COVID infection figures look right now?
Well, the latest figures yesterday, we had 4,144 cases announced yesterday, which is over several days, but that was the figure for yesterday. There are four boroughs which are seeing cases now rise by more than 50% a week. That is Harrow, Waltham Forest, Enfield and Haringey. The disease is also seeping across the capital, with some areas which previously had low infection levels now seeing significant rises, including Southwark, Islington and Lambeth. London has the highest seven-day rate in the country. It reached 191.2 per 100,000 people, and the earlier second wave peak was 200, so it's almost there.
Is it inevitable that London will be going into Tier 3?
Well, this morning, Professor Kevin Fenton, who's the London Director for Public Health England, told The Standard that the current trajectory of the disease is a, quote, worrying one. But he's stressing that we can still change its course if everyone acts to basically join the battle against this rise in cases. The ministers are very concerned about this surge in cases in the last 10 days or so, but they're also deeply reluctant just before Christmas to put the capital into Tier 3, because it will do huge economic damage, not only to the capital itself, but the fact that London is the economic powerhouse of the country. So if you damage London, you damage the country.
And we full coverage of the story in the newspaper and at standard.co.uk now.
Oh, what a lovely looking pair.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Did you talk about me?
Well, you said something.
How dare you!
About not being quite satisfied.
Get out of my pub!
From carrying on with doctors to kicking Pat out the Queen Vic in EastEnders, Dame Barbara Windsor has had more iconic moments than Peggy Mitchell had lock-ins. The actor, who began her career at 13 years old in 1950, has died aged 83. Tributes have come in from co-stars like Steve McFadden, her on-screen son Phil Mitchell, who said he'll miss her terribly. The Prime Minister said Dame Barbara cheered the world up with her brand of harmless sauciness and innocent scandal. Our theatre critic Nick Curtis is with me. Nick, she really did have an extraordinary career on screen, but also in theatre.
Absolutely. She had a life of many acts. She was a star of Cabaret in the 50s, made her film debut in St Trinian's at the age of 17 in 1954. It was a very highly fated serious stage actress at Joan Littlewood's Theatre Workshop in Stratford East in the 60s, carry-on comedian, EastEnders, iconic pub landlady, and later on a campaigner to raise awareness about Alzheimer's after she was diagnosed with the disease. So I think a really remarkable life, full lived and woven into the sort of fabric of London as well.
Yeah, very much woven into the fabric of London. You could really call her an icon of this city, couldn't you?
You could. I think I'm always wary of the word icon, which I think gets splashed about a bit too much, but she really was a proper London icon. Born in the East End, you know, her parents had those quintessential East End trades. They were a costermonger and a dressmaker. One of her ancestors was a striker at the Match Girls strike at the Bryant and May factory in the 1880s. Which is a pioneering part of sort of labour affairs. And she was given the Freedom of the City some years ago and was named the Londoner of the Year by the London Press Club this year, which I think were honours that probably meant as much to her as a damehood in the MBE that she was given.
Did you ever cross paths with her, Nick?
I met her in 1998 when a playwright called Terry Johnson wrote a play called Cleo Camping, Emmanuel and Dick about the Carry On films. And she agreed to an interview on as long as we sent her a crate of champagne, I think, beforehand, which I thought was a rather dashing touch. And I went to interview her at her very immaculate Muse House in Marylebone, where she was amazingly sort of honest and funny and fairly filthy. That giggle that we heard in the Carry On films and in EastEnders and in the other films that people will hopefully now seek out of hers was very much in evidence when we spoke. I thought she was wonderful.
That giggle is, of course, legendary, as is Get Out My Pub. But you just have to look at the longevity of Barbara Windsor and see the tributes that are being paid by her co-stars all the way up to the Prime Minister to see she must have had a huge talent, because you simply don't survive that long in show business without it.
Absolutely. I think part of her sort of sadness in a way, although she never really banged on about it that much, was that the sort of tabloid details of her life tended to obscure her talent to a certain extent. The fact that she knew the Crays, allegedly had affairs with one or possibly two of them, married a bit of a crook, Ronnie Knight, those sort of things, and plus the affair with Sid James, her carry-on co-star, tended to eclipse the fact that she was an amazing comedian and a really, really strong performer. I mean, she performed in the Threepenny Opera opposite Vanessa Redgrave in the West End in the 1970s, and absolutely, I gather, held her own. That was a little bit before my time, but you don't wing it in a production like that. She definitely had the acting chops.
Did she feel then that those Carry On movies that were so long ago kind of overshadowed her career throughout?
I think, yes, as well as the sort of details of her personal life, the other thing that kept her in a pigeonhole for a long period of time were the Carry On films, and particularly the scene where she loses her bra in Carry On Camping. When I spoke to her, she said that she just felt that had sort of set her career back 10 years or more, and she implored me to ask the picture editor not to illustrate the interview with a picture of that scene. It's a great shame, and unfortunately, that scene was recycled endlessly on TV anthologies of the Carry On scenes from the Carry On films throughout the 70s. So it was, and into the 80s, I believe. So it was always there, and I think it did stereotype her a bit. And it's a great shame that it did. But EastEnders sort of saved her from that pigeonhole, and we had a huge tranche of watching her really, really dominate that soap. I think she's probably one of the most memorable characters ever to appear in it.
And Nick's written about Barbara Windsor in the newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. That's the Leader podcast. We're back on Monday.